I want to talk about, I just want to bring a few moments in the Bible. There's many moments. And then the subject of what connects them is the subject for today. So just imagine Noah when he's done building the ark and that first raindrop on his forehead. Think about it, that moment there. And then probably looking at his wife, she was Nahum, or I forget the name, and looking at his wife, how her reaction was, a raindrop, a forehead, when they were done with the ark. I think of Joshua, which we're going to talk about more, when he wakes up one morning and God, in a booming voice, I can only imagine, says, "Yo, Joshua, Moses is dead, and you're next up." A moment. Or Lot turning around as after his wife turned around and became a pillar of salt. A moment. A young teenager being visited by an angel saying, "God knows who you are and trusts you to carry the Son of God in your womb." A moment. A woman with the issue of blood pressing through a crowd to touch the hem of Jesus' garment and was made well. A moment. Saul, who became Paul, not exactly in that moment, but was walking along a road, and then Jesus appeared. A moment. All right, that's nice, Pastor Chris. What's all the connection to these? These moments all brought change and a shift in the people that were in that moment. I want to talk about change today. Glory, hallelujah. Exciting things. The verb, looking up definitions of change. I know we have it when I say that word change, it can be good and bad in your psyche right now as I'm talking. But a general definition of the verb, in a verb tense of change, it says to make something different, alter or modify. If we took change to a noun, it would be the act of instance of making something different. Doesn't matter if it's a verb or a noun, it can still be painful or pleasurable, this word change in our lives, right? Can you put that slide up? So here's the truth of today, of the idea that I have in this message, called the change factor. A consistency in life is change. Can we all agree to that? One consistent thing in life is change. Each change brings an opportunity. Change can lead us to God or more towards ourselves and circumstances. So in every change that we're talking about, there's an opportunity. We can lean into change or allow it to stop us from what God can do at any moment in our lives. Change. I wanted to talk about the types of change, good and bad, but I felt this morning if I say what's good and bad change, who am I to give perspective to that change? It may have a feeling of how it may hurt me or whatever right now shake me up. But I wanted to talk about change as basically two things. Unexpected change, and we just heard this from two lovely ladies minutes ago in their lives, or planned changed. Follow me. This is not a motivational speech today. There's growth that can happen here, I believe, because I'm learning through this. There's change that is forced and change that is voluntary. But you got to, either way, get used to change if you are living and breathing, especially in this world. With everything changing and our frequency so high that we can get so much information overload in minutes on our device, on our TV, on whatever. Things that you learn that are changing, if they're good and bad in your lives. But change is something you have to prepare for. I had and I've mentioned this, I think, once from the pulpit, just to talk about change in my life. I think I had to at least be in a driving age. I was in an unexpected car accident. You laugh, unexpected. You never plan these things. But the reality is, it should have taken my life, and it gave some residual effects at times. One, I don't know where I am at times. Where am I? No, I'm just kidding. But in this life-threatening situation, and I won't go into details, I have before, and I'm 18 or 19, I believe, 17, whenever, it's all blur sometimes. But I had to make a decision, getting back to what we're talking about, which is really the underlying thing we want to camp on today, is in that change, because that's a change. I could die. All these things are right there. I had to push my focus to what opportunity is in this change in my life right now. You see, if we don't look for opportunities when change comes, especially unexpected change that could be bad change, what that said earlier is we'll inherently drift to magnify the situation we're in and ourselves on how we're going to handle that situation. And we begin to distance ourselves from God. Pastor, that's cruel because it really hurts this change. Absolutely. Life can be cruel. Praise God. We live in a reality here. Life can be cruel. But I changed in that focus, in that change in my life, I had to focus on God. What can I grow and learn in this moment? The weight of the circumstances was real. But what can I learn and grow? And it's part of the journey. It's not a one-time recipe. I had to, and it doesn't seem so exciting, but about 22 years ago, I had to make a change, a voluntary change in my life, that if I wanted to communicate better, because I is a communicator, I have to read books more. It's not rocket science. So over 20 years ago, I had to make a change instead of watching TV more, focus to reading more. And that change has helped me quite a bit along the way. So you can leverage change very well. Some of us, and I am guilty of this, don't worry, we're going to talk about you more in a minute. Some of us, and I, because I've lived it, live in this fantasy world of intentional change. Life is not a game, but if it was a baseball game, you are sitting in the bullpen all 9 innings, and you know you need to be on that mound and make a change towards that mound. But we somehow mentally ascend that we're making change towards what we need to do if it's planned change, but we never fully arrive yet. And then we get mad at God or other people why it's frustrating. So there's that change that you have to volunteer in things in your life. There's change, now talking about you a little bit more, called aging. Again, not heavy stuff right now. Aging.
Here we go.
All right, I had a birthday a few weeks ago, and thank you for singing happy birthday, but I'm in those 50s. I heard somebody say this once, is when you get older and older and wiser, of course, when you bend down to tie your shoe, make sure there's nothing else you could probably be doing while you're down there. So these are aging things. That's force changed. But do you see an opportunity in that change? That's the question. Do you see an opportunity in that change? We are inherently drawn, mainly because of our sinful nature, to love consistency, clarity, comfort, and for some of us, control. And change can wreck that entirely. Good or bad, unexpected or expected, change. But it's up to you as Christ followers to see what God will do through any change. We just heard some of a testimony earlier. What will God do in those changes? Some of you have intentionally wanted to grow more spiritually in 2024. Some of you won't come back next week. No, I'm just kidding. Come back next week. So I'm pushing you guys here. But some of you have said, I'm going to read my Bible more. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to learn and surrender more and worship more and die to myself more, because it is scriptural. But it's just been a thought. You need to voluntarily make that change. There's the deep definition that change is not change until it's... Let's look at a few stories in the Bible where God, and some we just talked about, used moments to cause change. Some reluctantly were some of the people in the story, but some were willingly. But before we do that, it's June 2nd, 2024. Wherever you are in this room and online, whether you've been experiencing a lot of change in your life, or you think you may be in that movie, The Pursuit of Happiness, if anybody's seen that. A true story about Chris Gardner, where it was one after another, just bad change, and some would say bad luck. We don't believe in that as Christians, but just a bad rolling of bad things. But he kept looking for opportunities that the glass was half full each time he had change. But you may be there right now. You may not be experiencing any change and feel like you're living in this statusy, a static type of mode in your life. Wherever you are, this is the anchor scripture right now. The prophet Isaiah, let these words prophesy over you as well, was writing to the Israelites that were stuck in Babylon, stuck around the sin, the Babylon, the Babylonian theory, everything, their beliefs, and they still were not in the promised land, which we're going to talk about Joshua in a minute. But Isaiah pens this straight from God to his people. He says in Isaiah 43:19, and this is just as relevant today, June 2nd. Listen carefully. I'm about to do a new thing. This is God speaking to Israel. It's speaking to us. Now it will spring forth. You will not be aware of it. I will even put a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Only God can do that. So when God is thinking about changing things, it may immediately eliminate your possibilities of how you would change things. A road in a wilderness is pretty good if you're in a wilderness right now. Not hearing from God, not knowing your purpose, he'll build a road and lead you to him. A river in a desert. Last time I checked, there's not a lot of water in desert lands and things. Isaiah was encouraging the Israelites and penned this from God. A moment we'll talk about now is Joshua. We said this earlier. Joshua wakes up, Joshua 1, 1 through 2. We'll read that real quick. And there's this moment of force changed in his life. After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua of Nun, Moses' assistant. So Joshua was Moses' assistant, a very faithful assistant. He said to Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I am giving them. Force change to Joshua. I don't think Joshua had his hand raised really high to God and say, pick me, pick me, pick me, pick me. I want to lead these Israelites that have been complaining for the last 40 years, drove Moses crazy, and we're still not in the promised land. Be careful when your potential leaders are pick me all the time. That's another message. Joshua took this challenge on, but he could have very well run away from it. We read it again, but I want to read it in this way. And again, I'm compressed for time, so we're compressing this. If you're in a spell right now, spell may not be a good word, but I just said it, and you don't know what God's plan is for your life, your direction, you've had some changes and you're being battered by changes, and some maybe good changes, but you just don't know what's going on. But you have committed to be a Christ follower and follow Christ. In my life, when I've been in those situations, and many others that I can attest, and what we see God telling Joshua in the first few verses of Joshua, you will be, when change is coming or change is about to happen, and you're truly seeking God's will, you will hear a commission in your life, a confirmation in your life, and then you will get provision in your life. I want to say that again. And this could be as simple as getting into the ministry or just loving your neighbor next door. You will get commissioned. You will get confirmation. And there will be provision. If I am called to love my neighbor next door, I don't need much commission. It's in the Word of God. Neighbor's in there over 80 some odd times. But the confirmation is that I'm next door. And the provision will come when I'm probably near my neighbor. Sounds so simple, Pastor. This is not revelational. The problem is sometimes what we do, and we're going to get back into Joshua in a minute, is when we're seeking God's will during change or about change is about to hit, good, bad, whatever type of change, we look for the provision before we listen for commission or confirmation. And we stand still intentionally wanting change. Let's read this in those lenses now. Commission. Moses, my servant, is dead. God is speaking to Joshua. Therefore, the time has come. He's commissioning Joshua for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River and the land I am giving them. That's Joshua's commission. His confirmation for Joshua, I promise you what I promised Moses. Whatever you set your foot, you will be on the land I have given you. For the Negevites wilderness in the south to the Lebanon mountains in the north, from the Euphrates River and east to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all the land of the Hittites. That is a confirmation from Almighty God. The provision, no one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. For I, here's the provision, I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. There's the provision that you should read into. The provision is always there. The provision doesn't usually manifest until you step out, but it is there. Let's go to another. I was going to get more deeper into this, but let's go to another amazing moment. We mentioned this earlier, where you have Saul, soon to be Paul. I heard somebody say he was like a Christian bounty hunter. He was after Christians. He'd even hold some coats when they were stoning Christians, as he did with Stephen in his execution. So Paul was not friendly to the Christians, right? But there he is on the road to Damascus. And we read this in Acts 9. You put that up there, Acts 9, 3 through 8, we'll go through. And here's the moment. As he was approaching Damascus, meaning Saul, on this mission to get Christians, a light from heaven suddenly shone down around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Interesting. His inherent response is, "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. I think inherently in every person that believes in God or is not following God, there's an inherentness of our original creator, that there's something greater. It's like when you get an earthquake, the joke is, and you're in a tall building, the atheists even look up. Well, I believe even with Saul right here, "Who are you, Lord? There's something greater in front of me." And the voice replied, "I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men with Saul stood speechless, for they heard the sound of someone's voice, but saw no one. Imagine that. Saul picked himself up off the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he was blinded. So his companions led him by the hand to Damascus. So here you have in the verses, if we're still landing here and breathing out, commission, confirmation, and provision. Saul had a very big changing moment. His commission, get up. Simple as that. Get up. He fell to the ground. Jesus said, get up. Confirmation, "I see what you've done," Jesus said to him. "And I don't like it. And there's something far greater you can be doing." Provision, he sent him to see Ananias, if we read further. And many of you know the story. Ananias was told there's going to be a man, Saul. And he's like, "Saul, not Saul. He kills Christians like me. You want me to help him?" So there was even an attitude change there with Ananias. Thank God he did. But Paul, this change, he sought the will of God in this change. He may not fully understood what he was doing at the time, but look what he ended up doing. Writing most of the New Testament and the epistles and built churches, and is some of a culmination and residual of what we're doing today. All because of a change that he sought the will of God. That he sought the will of God. All right, Pastor, that's nice talking about change. We've got some good stories where people have changed. You know, I ask you, what about your change in your life when you came to a moment, and majority in this room, and maybe some did not, where they knew they were loved by a God who loved them and did so much for them by sending his son? There was a change of heart then in you, hopefully, that changed you to begin to follow Christ, to change a different lifestyle than you had for good. Change can be good and it can be bad. But our key thing from today is look within those changes for the opportunity for God to work and find his will. Otherwise, we're going to be governed by our circumstances and we won't end up where God wants us to be. Opportunities are our safeguard in change. Think of that. When all you know what's falling and change is happening is bad, our safeguard is God. I don't understand any of this. And it may lead me into some suffering at times. But I got to seek your will in this. What is it? He may not magically clear it up, but it'll bring you through it. And it'll grow you through it at the same very time. Some of you right now might be parents that are empty nesters. We're getting there. Kids going to college, a new change in our life. Some of you have lost loved ones close to you. Some of you have lost a job recently. These scriptures have always been close to my heart when I didn't know what was next sometimes. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus, our Lord and Savior, soon coming King, amen, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if I'm pursuing Jesus' will in my life that doesn't change, He wants the best for me, He wants to bring me through things, then I can always rely on them, than even a friend that might disappoint at times. Malachi, we know this one, 3:6, another verse that I find hope in and change of uncertainty. I am the Lord. I don't change. He's not governed by your time. Romans 8:28. It says if we love God, serve Him, He works all things for our good. All things for our good. We can rest in that during change and different things. So no matter where you are in your life right now, encouraging you, seek opportunities within whatever change you're in. I know my dad in ministry, first off, it seemed like every 2 years or so, the keys on his key ring would change. His car, his office, the house. But what was God's will? He continued to pursue in ministry. And look what God has done in his life. We as a church, what does this change? Well, I truly believe, and we've mentioned this before, that over the last at least 3 years, God, we have a great foundation here at Faith Christian Center. But God is shifting some things. Ooh. Well, if you haven't sensed it, you haven't been here long enough in the last 3 years. God is shifting some things. And I've said this before, but I want to breathe it out. I know we're running short here, but And I know the majority of you online and in this room hear this and track with this. But the days of having church are dissipating away. And the days to be the church are increasing every day. What does that mean? And this is the challenge to you, and it's going to cause change in your Christian walk. I love you before I say this. It's up to you to love me back or not. Having church can mean many things, but the majority of what that means, it's a self-serving idea. Meaning I come here for just for me. It's nothing new I've not said. And that can breed, well, I hope you love me after this. I'm growing in this too. That can breed a false sense of affirmation that I need in my life. That look at, and it's not intentional, but it grows like moss on an Ivy League school. Unintentionally, I'm here because you're affirming what I already believe. The only problem with that is we don't grow to go beyond that sometimes. That's important. You need the foundation, but we don't grow beyond that. And then we don't get challenged beyond that. We have to be careful why we're here. We're all human. Jesus was human. He had humanity with him. But we need to intentionally ask our question, why am I here? Am I here to have church, to help affirm what I believe, and be around people that agree with me, which is important. We need nurturing. The church is here to help equip you. But the church is help for you to be the church out there. God wants us to be the church to hurting people. And some of your growth is going to be when you reach out to those people. Oh, it's getting thin and thin air in here. So we need to be the church. We need to be for each other, together. We need to love each other, which we mainly do. Be helpful to one another. And be the church. And that is the change, I think, that's been going here at Faith Christian Center and is continuing. That we're, it's nice to have a nice church service, but the days that I am saying, and I'm not, I say it too sometimes, that I walk away and say I really enjoyed that service and it did not mark me to make a change in what I need to do next, I question that us as leaders didn't preach what we needed to preach. You need to be challenged. There's time for encouragement. I'm not a great encourager. You can tell that already. There are we all have giftings, our pastors. But I'm here to challenge you in love. There's far more greater things here. And most of the things that you're maybe dealing with right now, maybe unanswered prayers and things like that, are God, because we are in a different time and age. God wants to draw you closer to Him, but you have to make the first step. If we do this change, you don't want it to be forceful. Because if it is forceful, it could be a church with an autopsy report. And I don't want to be accountable for that. But it's a voluntary change, and we do things differently because we're here to grow. We're here to learn. We're here to love. We're here to share our love and be loved by those around us. It's a community, a family of believers. But we need to be the church. And I believe we are. We're getting there. It's exciting. But this, the old Las Vegas commercial, what stays in Vegas, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas? What happens at the in this room stays in this room? No! Go out. Be the light, as we prayed over our young men earlier. The world's waiting for us. Well, I may not have memorized 8 books of the Bible yet. The Holy Spirit will speak for you if you let Him speak. Don't get this intentional change. Just do it. Be the change. Be out there. God wants to do so much in your life. He loves you so much. That's the change at FCC. That's been happening and will continue to happen. And it may not be for everybody. That's okay. We love you. We'll hold the door open. But we're going somewhere. We're going to be the church. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all the other things I've been focusing on. Oh, wait. If I seek you, this will all be, you'll add and take care of these things. If I look there and not down here, He will take care of us. So some of you may be in the wilderness, static, or wanting change, or just had some bad change that you feel. And I want to say this again, Isaiah 43:19. Listen carefully what Isaiah says to the Israelites and to Faith Christian Center. I'm about to do a new thing in each and every one of us. Now I will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? Be sensitive to this. Expect it. Expect it. I will even put a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Hallelujah. Amen. Stir up those things. When you think your Monday looks like your Tuesday looks like your Wednesday, nothing great seems to be going on, and any changes I experience are not good and bad, plant this scripture on your heart. God is ready to do something new in you and in your situation. But we've got to be open to change and have our focused vision on the opportunity within that change. And that's God's will we seek, right? Hopefully I wasn't yelling today. Why don't we stand? Thank you. Why don't we stand? Church is usually not a full contact sport, but there is some contact. Can you grab each other's hands? Thank you. I just want to pray us out here. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to come as a church today, your church, Lord. Lord, we spoke about some uneasy issues of change. We don't always welcome it. But whether it be unexpected or expected change, let it draw us closer to you alone. Let us see the opportunities that are in every change to walk closer to your will in our lives. Your will is the best will for us as individuals and certainly as a church. For those in this room right now that have been hit hard by change, battered down like waves of an incoming tide, we speak peace. We speak peace and wisdom and clarity and your love into their lives right now. Hurting, you're the healer, Lord, of that hurting. Collide with that right now as we join as one church community. Those that do not see purpose, let this voluntary change begin to unction them more and more. Holy Spirit, prick their hearts to show them their purpose and how much you have for them in their life. Lord, let us be as best in our humanity to be comfortable with change, because we can rest that you know where we are at all times and that your will is the greater will in our lives. Let us not walk away unchallenged. Let us walk away knowing what is our next steps, God, in my life. Change that I can do to follow you more. I may not see the whole staircase, but I see a step. And let me take it. Holy Spirit, thank you that you are with us every day to guide us, comfort us, and lead us in truth above all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. If you do not have a relationship with God, if you don't, we're talking about God a lot today, and you've seen testimonies of people's lives and the young men and then the Don and Aisha and these things going on, but you don't have a relationship with God, come down right after service. Make that change. That's a change. We'd love to pray with you. We'd love to pray with you and talk more how God wants.